thanks to everybody. I was talking about the money, how God provided. Every step of the way, like we'd need to buy a ticket and didn't have the money, God provided it. People donated the food, you know, and I really want to thank, there's so many people to thank, I know I'm going to forget because there's a ton of people. If you were involved with any little part at all of helping decorate next door, raise your hand. Yeah, look around, everybody. That place is amazing over there. It looks great. We always go full out, you know. And so I know, I want to thank, what about the food this week? Like last week. Lisa is very, I would say gifted. Like it always goes so smooth and it's incredible. And Lori jumped in there and now them two together. And, who had a piece and a part of either serving the food, cooking on the food, or you donated food? Raise your hand. Look, yeah, a ton of us. It takes all of us to pull stuff like this off. And we hardly had to spend any money, Elisa said, on this stuff because everybody kept donating. And guys, thank you for doing that. It was a great conference. And actually, the two pastors from Belize, they have never eaten in a restaurant in America before. So they, you know, we cook at home, so we're eating. We're coming here and eating. And then I said, well, okay. I took them to McDonald's drive-thru on the last day they were here. I said, guys, here, I can get you a breakfast sandwich in here. And man, Jerry was like out the window, man. They're looking. You pull up at a place. It's amazing. You just tell them what you want. Go to a window. They hand you out some food, man. They were like thrilled with it. He said, a guy in Belize told me the food in America is terrible. He said, but man, everything I've eaten's been good. I said, well, you know why? It's been out of somebody's kitchen so far. That's why. He goes, but this sandwich ain't too bad. I said, nope. I said, now where do you guys want to go for lunch? Any restaurant. I named all these foods and they're like, man, you know, they said, we'd like to try maybe some Chinese. I took them to a buffet. And so they got to go to a buffet and see all that. They were just like, wow, unbelievable. They were just moved by the whole thing. And I get to a Chinese buffet and one of them just loads up the big leaves, lettuce leaves. He just piled them like on his plate. And I was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, that's the cheapest food known to mankind. Rabbits eat that stuff. You know, and he put hot sauce on the lettuce, and then there was silverware there. And then I said, no, go up and get some meat. And so he went up again and got a bunch of meat. And I was like, I would appreciate if you'd use the silverware, but you don't have to. They like eating with their fingers, man. So they was grubbing noodles and everything with their fingers, you know. And so I was like, all right. So I just joined them. And they loved it. And you know what he said when he left? He said, you tell Sister Becky, my wife, they stay with us, and tell everybody at the church that their food was better. I said, that's because it's made with love, man. Somebody put their hands on it, man, and made some, put all that stuff together. So it was good. The decorations, thank you. Alexanne led the charge on this. And anytime God spoke to anybody, we asked you to pull a ribbon down there and tie it on the bottom there. We're going to keep that going up. If God speaks to you, man, at one of our services, I want you to tie a ribbon down there. We're going to work on some artwork. And there's our missionaries. You hit that QR code. It'll take you to a place. I don't care who you want to give to. Click their name. Bam. All that money will go to them. So, and quite a few people did that. And so thanks for the tables, the chairs, all that stuff. We had to tear down the chairs, put up the tables for the next morning. Oh, service tonight, tear down the, and so everybody had a part. Anybody who grabbed a table, chair, ran a vacuum cleaner, all that, raise your hand. Look at that. This is us, man. It takes all of us to pull it off. So we're really thankful for all of our guests and I'm thankful for the band. You know, they showed up every night and worked ahead of time and just a lot of work getting here early. Nobody earlier than the cooking people. But anyways, guys, I just want to, it was a positive. It was a real positive. So the theme, we kind of themed this thing on, you know, I wanted to, we got to get the word out. Our church has taken churches have taken a hit in the chops, man, over the last couple years. And COVID's ruined things. And of course, things move online. So a lot of times people have that option. So they take it, you know, and it is nice watching church in your underwear. But it feels weird to me. Like it feels weird, man. You really exposed. You know, God sees it all. You know, and so church has taken a hit. We've had a loss. We've lost a lot of members the last couple of years, and I'm tired of saying that. And so, but look how many people we've seen saved here lately. People come into Christ, and That's the juice, man. I'm telling you right now, that's the juice of the church. People meeting Christ and then growing in their faith. And the worst thing is when we get religious. You know, you start getting tradition down. All of a sudden, you don't have the Monday morning faith. You just come to church on Sunday for looks. And do you remember a time when the church just affected your heart? When you didn't show up as a critic? You came open and vulnerable and said, God, do something with this old heart of mine. Soften it up, man, with your word. Write upon it. Change this boy. Something needs to happen. Remember those days? But then when you get spiritual and you grow, you just become critical. And then it becomes the slow fade. We've seen it many, many a times. And so this conference, I think we need to see people say, it's time we publish the word of God. You know, a lot of people, it's a big thing today called branding yourself. You got to get on social media and have a presence, you know. If you're, you know, under the age of 30, you know, like, you know, Instagram would be a real hot one to do that on. There's so many platforms. And Facebook actually still number one, the amounts of people, but it covers the gamut from old and it goes down to young. And, so everybody brand yourself, put yourself on. It's free advertisement, right? So you do it for your business and it's just pushed today amongst young people. They ask a lot of young people, what do you want to be? And they'll use the word like, I want to be an influencer. I want to be, you want to get popular, basically you're selling yourself on social media. You know what the Bible says? What needs published or proclaimed is God's word, not you or not me. Churches today are famous for branding themselves. They put a big church name on and then they want to satellite it everywhere. And matter of fact, there was a church group that came down to one of our pastors down in Belize and said, hey, we want to fund you and help you guys as a church. And they're like, man, great. We could use some help. And then they sat down and he says, but here's what we require of you. And we want you to sign on the line and we need to change your name. Your name will be, and it was the name of this church in the U.S., but at the end it would be Belize. And the pastor said, well, I don't understand. We've had the name Lighthouse for years. He's like, yeah, but if you're going to be under our brand, under our name, and he goes, you do realize that's control. He's like, we got a good thing going. And he said, no thanks. He turned it down. I was like, good for you, man. He rejected the cash that came with it too. I was like, hey, good for you. Cause that's exactly what it is. It's what it is. I think that's the thing people hate about religion as a whole. Like this controlled, organized religion can be, you feel like it. Like, and this is about, you know, a lot about control. It is about numbers and nickels. And then you put their name and whatever. Let's brand the word of God. That's what we're doing. We're putting let's publish the word of God. In any church that's proclaiming or giving the gospel, then we need to say we support them. That's good. You don't have to like everything they do. There's a lot of churches out there I don't care for some of their methodology, but their brothers, their sisters, they preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message we want. Look at the word published in the Bible. It's a proclamation, man, where you're constantly putting out there. Even communism did that. You know, communism took over. Communism used to fly airplanes and drop their literature in places that was war-torn. They dominated the printed page. They dominated any form of radio. And then when news came, they took over TV too. They got the word out and therefore it spread. And it's funny to me right now because there's several communities of people out there. And one community of people would be, and my message is not on this. My message is on publishing the word, but it would be the trans community, right? Part of the LGBTQ group. But they are changing their gender. Hey, listen. They've dominated the media. They've dominated the printed page. How many people do you personally know that like, yeah, that dude used to be Bob, now his name's Sherry? Well, we've heard of those things. And I've actually met a few, I'm not lying. But my point of saying is, because they've dominated like the media and the word spread, and bad news always spreads fast, it goes out there. People think the movement is bigger than it is. And by the way, that's why they're really like minority type of groups, but they seem to have sometimes the loudest voice. And listen, believer in Jesus Christ, it's just time for us to get loud. It's time for us to spread the word. Man, we're lovers too, man. We ain't haters. We love people that even disagree with us. I don't know who got that reputation out there, but anytime as a Christian you say you stand against something, they're like, yeah, what's wrong with you guys? You guys are haters. Haters? My gosh, we love, God loved me. Man, God loved the world so much he gave his son for me. I was against him. I was his enemy. So the Bible even teaches us, we love people don't love us. Even if they would consider themselves maybe our enemies. God says, no, you love them. That's when love counts the most. Love your enemies. We're supposed to be lovers. But let me tell you what our job is. Our job is to publish and proclaim God's word. The word's got to go forth. This is why we do the vision conference. And so I was really, really thankful when we told Pradeep, man, come in, dude, and preach whatever God lays on your heart. I knew this guy's from India. I knew this guy don't know our culture. I didn't really have a clue what he would say, but I know what he believes. And so I'm like, you know, we're just going to take a risk on it. I looked at some of my notes. There were some nights, like, I'm like, I think I have like 35 verses written down. And I think I missed some. This guy was just loaded with scripture. Bam, bam, bam. And I like that. I like that. It was biblical. It wasn't his opinion. This is it. Because God's word, you know, it does not change when you enter a different culture. It remains the same. And that's what I loved about him. And he just kept giving the word. So gang, he gave four messages. Really. If you want to say five, if you include the Sunday night when he gave his testimony. And man, he focused on the first night was time. Night? That would be Sunday morning, wasn't it? Time. He said, man, Jesus is coming soon. He proved it with the Bible. We're supposed to number our days. Christians, basically, we are responsible for our time. And you know what it is? It's, you know, yeah, you're responsible at work. When you're on the clock, man, work hard, right? You know, you got an event with your kids or you got sleepy time. At nighttime, you got to put your head down. Yeah, that's, you know, you're accountable for that. You need so much sleep to function the next day. But there's free time. And I don't care if your free time's 1 hour or 7 hours a day. I used to disciple college students, and it was funny to me is I would have two kids, a wife. I pastored here. Sometimes I had to do side work to make ends meet. And I would try to schedule a time with this cat to meet for discipleship. I don't know why I'm calling everybody cats today. But I wanted to spend time with this guy to disciple him, and he would just say, my gosh, man, I'm super busy this week. All right. And I said, I literally gave him a calendar of a day and all the hours. I said, could you fill this out for me this week? He's like, sure. And he did, filled the whole thing out, and we sat down. And, you know, at the end of it, you know what he was? Ashamed. That's right. He was ashamed. But I like that word when Pradeep said, I'm not saying it right, but we went down the list and the guy's like, I guess I didn't realize how much free time I had. I said, dude, you don't hardly have any responsibility. And that's okay. Part of it is your age. I get it. I know that you have classes. I know you play sports. I know all those type of things. But you're going to be accountable for your time, man. All of a sudden, this guy's wanting me to meet with him at 6:30 at night when he gets out of the cafeteria. I said, dude, I got a family. I got a wife and a kid. You don't have that. How about I come over at 9 tonight? My girls will be in bed. How about that one? You know, we can pull in normally. My point is time. It's our free time. I just want to challenge you today. What's your free time look like? Do you glorify God with your extra hours? That was the whole point, I think, of that night is you're going to be held accountable for your time. What are you doing with your extra? It's the extra time. In my extra time, well, I'm a gamer. Okay. Not real eternal, but there's nothing wrong with having hobbies or habits that we do. But we're going to be held accountable for that time. And if you're not making any dent in eternity, or then you're just like, yeah, man, I didn't have much time to read the word this week. Oh, really? My gosh. You know, schedule it out. Look down on a piece of paper, count your hours every little moment, and you sit back and be like, I guess I did have 3 hours that day. What did I do? You really have to spend 20 minutes in the shower? Come on, man. I know your cold and that warm shower feels good. You get in other places, the military, get out. Get in, get out. It's time. We got to hustle. Got a bunch of guys to get in here. 1 minute, man. In and out. They can do it. Yeah, and I got 20. Put on some tunes. I'm famous for that. I put tunes on while I'm in the shower. So I'm in there singing. Grab that thing off there. I'm singing away. I'm like, dude, get out of the shower. We got things to do today. Would anybody like to speak up on that first, the first message, man, on we are accountable for our time. Time, treasure, our talents, the abilities God's given us. All we are supposed to bring him glory. Is your life shining for Jesus Christ? Does anybody, was it that you had something to say? Yeah, man, I tell you that Sunday morning, man, just, it rocked me. It really did. Here's the deal where you have to flesh it out. Like, you literally got to sit down with your calendar and put God first. And that, okay, that sounds good. No, every day you write it out and look at your moments. You've developed habits. You've developed routines in your life. And you literally got to say, you know, God's word ain't lighting you up anymore. You know, and you just got to sit down with that calendar and say, you know, here's what I'm going to do. And I can give you examples of my personal life through history where I've had to do this and I've had to stop things. I've had to quit things. I had a friend that got a hold of me once and said, hey man, you want to start lifting weights together? And I've been wanting to get back into it. And I said, sure. And so we started going. We're 8 months in. Guys, I'm telling you what, like, for an adult, like, I couldn't believe the strides I was making. And this was back, a church building ago when we first got that other church building. And I remember I had a goal of benching X amount by Christmas. And I was like, man, I was feeling lean. I could feel myself. I was wearing tighter t-shirts. Well, my t-shirts were getting a little tighter, but I was wearing tighter t-shirts. I was getting bold in the gym so I could see what was going on in the mirrors, you know. I mean, it was really like, I loved it. I felt good, all that type of stuff. But I remember I used to get up in the morning and the first thing I would do is just spend time with the Lord. I'd get in the Word and he'd speak to me. I was like, God, clear as a bell, God. I'd use that time to pray. Well, now I was going to the gym. I wasn't even going very long. Like, I mean, we was clearing that thing in about an hour, but there were certain days I was finding myself 2 or 3 days a week going, I'd be in the afternoon and be like, oh man, I need to get to my quiet time. I need to shut down the work and the ministry and I need to open the Bible and get into this. And you know how it is. And, you know, I'm speaking. Everybody knows how this is, especially your mom, you got babies, you know how that is. They control a little bit of your life, you got kids, you got to get them going places. And so I remember the day God convicted me. I'm driving home from Galesburg and God convicted me because I was like, man, God, I need to spend some personal time in your word. I studied for my message on Sunday, but personal time where you speak to me. And God just clearly just said, yeah, I know, but you've been just working out. And I know that's more important to you, but. You know, and I know the verses, bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Bodily exercise profits. Please don't think I'm not saying don't work out. No, I'm not saying that at all. But you know what I did? I made that before I got back to Monmouth. I made the phone call and I said, hey, man, hey, John, man, it's Mike. I just want you to know I'm not going to be able to work out in the morning. He said, what's up? I said, dude, I've been neglecting the Lord. And he's like, yeah, don't neglect him. Work out and then get home. I said, well, it's not that easy. The time we're doing it and he was trying to, you know, work it. Let's do this. Let's do that. And I said, no. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to take off some time. I'm not going to do it anymore. And best move I've ever made. But see, I adjusted my calendar. Others said, no, I'm going to stop this. And by the way, whatever, you know, to say yes to the Lord means you got to say no to something else. You got to say no. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And so, and then Becky said, you know, I noticed, man, you're warmer at night. And I said, yeah, I put on 30 pounds of nice, warm fat, you know, but she likes it. You know, she's always had a blanket and a teddy bear. Now she's got it again. No, that was years ago. That's years ago. So anyways. Guys, you got to make the move. Make the move. God's word's got to be a priority every day in your life. And that's what he was saying, man. Do it. God gave it to you. And now you're responsible for it, right? So you know who publishes God's word? Look in the New Testament. Leper. A leper gets cleansed. And Jesus even says, hey, dude, keep this thing quiet because in the lepers. And that's he published it more. He went, because his life has been so transformed. A guy in Mark chapter 5, demons were cast out of him. He went and published everything. I am a changed man. and the enemy no longer controls me, but the God of the universe, you know, Jesus Christ is my Savior. Mark 7, a deaf man, the word published, that it's the people. And people become religious and self-righteous. You know, I mean, will you publish your own business yourself? What? But these guys here are publishing Jesus, man. And I like what you said. I think the guys that were just baptized, they have freshly tasted of new life. And they want more of it. And that's exactly, we lose that over time. Sometimes we just lose it. So God just we need to become a little bit more hungry. And unfortunately, sometimes it takes negative circumstances in your life to come along for us to seek the Lord again. But it don't have to. We can turn that and repent of that and do what's right today. But so good, man. It was so good. We're going to publish this thing because why? I know who I was, man. I've been cleansed. I'm tired of wasting my time for things that don't matter. I'm tired of it. I mean, how much money do you need to make? Really? One of the best moves me and my wife made years ago, but we paid a great price for this. We had our babies. And when we had our child, we're like, you know what? Man, we started adding up the cost of this, and we're just like, we want you to stay home. But it's a two-income world, man. It's a two-income world. Like, well, we're going to make that different. And there was times, man, we hurt, like, financially. There was times we even went in debt, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this. We just made that a priority, and no regrets at all. And we thought that she would go back to work when they went back to school, but we even didn't do that for a while because we had a mom give us some advice and say, my kids talk to me more now that they're in junior high school, going into high school. They come home from school and want to just sit down and unload. There's these moments. And so we tried to really keep that in perspective that, my gosh. And so it's just an issue of time, but you got to say no to something. You're going to sacrifice for something, you know, like you're going to sacrifice. And just, you know, so I would just find out what matters most and keep that a priority and let everything else go. You literally got to let everything go. Let it go. It's easy to say, but it's so hard to do, to change your life, to change your routine. Let God be glorified with your time. You know, the next message, on Sunday night when he spoke his testimony on ministry, he was orphaned when he was 10. And so he felt sorry for his mom because she was widowed. And he says, now I got a heart for widows. I got a heart for orphan kids. And that he has an orphanage. He has a ministry to widows. What about you? That's what I got. But what about me? What's the things that break my heart? What's the things I look back in the past and I've been hurt from? You can look at that and cry tears all your life and say, well, I didn't have this. I really didn't have this. I was lacking this. I was lacking that. You know, ooh. Or you can find redemption and healing in those areas. And you're a prime candidate to minister to other ladies that have been there. And you can sit around if you want and be ashamed that you were a hoe in your last life. But now that you're saved, there's a lot of women out there that are looking for love in all the wrong places. Can you not minister to them? You're the one that can pull it off. Really? Is that true? That's the reality to it. You've been divorced. You know what it feels like. You ever had a miscarriage? That happens very frequently. Look at the stats on how often that happens to ladies. You know how it feels. Minister to ladies that are there. That's what you do. Anybody have any addictions in your life? A lot of people struggle with addictions. Can you not right there? Can you remember what it's like trying to raise kids by yourself? There's moms that are doing that. Now that you're saved, get some victory. Grow in the Word, and then you're the minister right there. That's it. Find out the areas of your life where you were lacking, that Jesus Christ can come in and bring you healing there and then minister accordingly. That's all he did. And this guy is a serious, he's a threat man in India. This guy's a threat to darkness because everywhere he goes, he knows what it's like. And it's that simple, gang. It's not that hard. Minister exactly where you've been ministered to. Perfect. He spoke about treasures. Do you remember that? That was Monday night. Long message about our money. That's a hard message to hear. I'm glad when somebody else comes in and does that because that's weird for me. I probably get the biggest amount of money here. I get a paycheck. So it feels weird to stand up and talk about money, even though I've done it because God's word says to. And, but anyways, he spoke on, you know, getting versus giving. The getting versus the giving. And I really like that. God loves a cheerful giver. God blesses the cheerful giver. So I don't know if God spoke to anybody on that message, but it's true. We give our money to a lot of things. And guys, you wouldn't believe what it adds up to. And I know in our culture, it's easy to just slip through a drive-thru. And every time we went through the drive-thru with Hal P, he goes, you know, rich people do this where I live. And it just kept dawning on me. I don't need to feel bad about that all the time, but what I do need to feel bad about when I take advantage of it is just when I'm rich, man. Thank you, Lord. We're rich to be able to do this, to just get this or order a pizza and do those type of things, you know. God, with my money, with my resources, may I honor you. May I worship you. Time. And then he spoke about our treasure, man. So your money. And, let me tell you the money principle, and I'll shut up about money. It's the first fruits. I'm not going to give you an amount of money, but the first fruit, you give to God first. That's what this whole conference, put everything back in priority first. When you make money, somebody's like, oh my gosh, we got to pay the, man, we got to get that power bill paid, man. It's going to get shut off, you know, that's not the priority. It really is not. What about the power source? The one that's giving you salvation. It's giving us all. That's the priority. God first with your money. That's on all of us. We need to live that. Give of the first fruits. Applies with time. You wake up, give him your first moments of your day. I had to get up super early to get one of the guys to the airport, and I couldn't get up and do my typical like time with the Lord. I'm not bothered by that, just the way it worked out. But still, it was funny getting it done. It felt weird doing it later on, you know, after making the trip and the drive. And I'm just like, God, because I just want to give God first, man. I want him to know I love you, and that God, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is at. I'm going to put my schedule and my time where I say I know it needs to be, you know. Anybody else want to speak into that one at all? I think we got a giving church. You know, I think sometimes I feel bad when we ask for things. I'm like, are people like getting ready to tap out and be like, hey, dude, we have nothing more to give. You know, and I think a lot of you do give above and beyond. Let's not talk about money anymore. What about the talent one, man? That went along with me, his testimony. Like, God's given all of us a gift. You know, and he talked about spiritual gifts, that he gives you an ability. Some of you have a great ability. Some of you got incredible people skills. Other people, you have gift of mercies, man. When somebody's hurting, I notice, man, you come right along and you're there. That's what you do, man. So God's given you a gift to do two things. One, to glorify him, but two, to edify the body. How do you edify the body? What do you give here? And I'll tell you this much. This church, like God, we don't want your money. We really don't. We don't want your time. We want your heart. Well, God's got your heart. Them other things come, don't they? They just follow suit because we spend our time with the things we love. We give our money to the things we love. And so I just want you to love Jesus so much, and I want you to love this church. That's why you give it. I don't want to pressure anybody to do anything like that, but to edify the church. So are you edifying the church? Or are you still coming to be edified? And sometimes that happens. I get it. But man, turn that thing around. We need more ministers. We need more men and women in this church that are giving of their guts, man. And some of you do it, man. I know it. Some of you are right on the edge, man. I see you in everything. And I like, Tyler, you said a good word a few minutes ago about giving God priority in his time and saying no to certain things, but making God's word a priority. He goes, I don't have to come to every single thing the church does. I'm not speaking to you that don't come to anything. But some of you that are involved in everything, yeah, you find out where you best fit and just say, I'm going to put my energy into these two things right here. Man, I really wished I could be a part of this, but man, it's killing my family at home. Like we're busy. Yeah, everybody's busy. But you make priorities like that. That way you give 100% where you are at. That's big. So I want you to know that. And just because you don't show up for a thing, you know, you don't want people just saying, hey, some people just expected. That they're not going to be there. And some of you feel bad. Man, I'm sorry I couldn't make it. Hey, man, we're busy. Just put your priorities where they should be. You give your guts, man. Give it. It's cool. It's totally cool. Follow God's spirit. You're in his word, right? Give where you can. Did you like the fire test? He kept talking about that fire test. It's like, because a faith that's not tested can never be trusted. So God has a fire test. It's true. He puts it all under the heat. That means pressure. It's the pressure cooker. The pressure cooker. The pressure cooker. And you know how it is. You know, it's like, you don't want to make your health a priority. I get it. I've been there. I live there. You don't make your health a priority, health a priority, health a priority. You don't make it a priority. One day, you're going to be in a position where your health is going to have you pinned down, and you are going to have to make it a priority because you're in deep trouble. You know how that goes? And so the fire test is just that. It's pressure. This week, you're going to say, God, I'm going to give you my time. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a commitment to this. Say no to this. Be at this. Whatever. You're going to be tested. You're going to be under pressure because you've made that decision. But that's a good thing. The pressure cooker's a good thing, right? It's under that heat where the dross, right? All the impurities come to the top and it can be put away. People avoid the pressure. People always avoid the pressure. The pressure is what we need. It's a good thing. And I know you want to come to church and just be free, footloose and fancy free. It's not always that way. Sometimes you come to church, man, it's hot. It is hot in the house, man. And then when it's under that, you're like, God, please, man, mold and make me. Iron, man, they put that under the heat, man. You watch them as they're putting it there and they beat it. And all the impurities are gone, man. It takes the fire. So he kept talking about the fire test, man. Even your money. Like, God, I'm going to make a commitment to you. I'm going to give more over here or over here. Well, you're going to be tested because you're going to be up against it, man. You're going to find yourself broke next month and be like, see, we don't have it. And go back to being who you were. No, go through the fire test, man. Go through the 1 Peter 1:7. Your faith will be tried by fire for sure. Our works will be revealed by fire one day in eternity. So let's put it under the pressure cooker now. God, go and test me on this one, man. If there's any wicked way in me, God, please reveal that. And then you go through pressure. That's exactly what every time we set a budget as a church, God's like, okay, now we'll test that. By faith, you made that budget. We're going to test that. You're going to be tighter than ever. Woo! Time, treasure, our talents that God's given us. I was really convicted that night just as the pastor because I was like, I'm pastoring a church, and if I would poll everybody this morning and say, hey, we teach spiritual gifts here. We've taught them in the past. We've done studies and all that type of thing. So what is your spiritual gift? And if you can't answer that right away, I was like, oh, I feel like that's a fail on my part. Get busy, man. God gave us all gifts to use it. Now we're abusing it, you know. I want people to know that. Know where you fit. What's your fit here? Where can you belong here? What's the part that you're going to edify? You're going to build this body, you know. For sure, that was a good one. As I'm sorry if you're a guest or you wasn't part of the conference, I know it might feel a little bit odd, a little bit weird, but man, God really stirred the place, stirred in me. And a lot of it was things I knew, like time, talent, and treasure. I teach that stuff. And he comes out with it, and I was just like, wow. You know, there's a couple of those things. I'm like, whew, that's intense. It's hardest at home. That I heard an old pastor say that one time. I was listening, taking notes as a young pastor. He said, it's hardest at home. You can love people and do things because you get home. That's what you want to let up. You're like, no. So, no, that was incredibly good. That was good. We need to hear that, parents in the room. You need to hear it. It seems like you have the extremes of that, you know, because then you get the one parents that they idolize and worship their kids. Any activity their kids want to do, they will never say no. We will do this. And the Lord's never a priority. So keeping God's kingdom a focus and yet say it starts in the home, even if it means a church activity over here. I don't think we're going to be able to pull that off. We're gone too much, too many nights. And we got to make those calls. And I hate that because I want everybody at everything. You know, you love that stuff, you know, and it's my life, you know, so I like it. And now my kids are gone. So I can easily say that now, but man, when you got ones at home, whew, yeah, yes, on that relationships, the in-between times, late at night, when church is over, and we're going to sit around and just chit-chat for a while. And some people are like, man, I got to go. They go, well, you're missing out on something. You're missing out on some conversations. A lot of times it's the in-between. Same with me. One night we had 25 people in our house after the conference. My wife said, hey, you can't invite everybody. We don't have room. We don't have room. Some people can sit on the floor. So a lot of people were standing, and it was fine. I know you can't do that all the time, but man, when it was over, we were like, man, it was so good. Just rubbing shoulders with different people. And it was an in-between time of the conference, but it's the little conversations that happen. And let's make that a priority. You know, I would rather be a church that just simply preaches the word and we make disciples. Now, we do prayer every other week right now. I don't want to fill the calendar with just events, but then to find out the people were like, yeah, we had such and such over for dinner. You know, yeah, we had them over. We did this week. And I had a couple of people. You hear that? That's healthy, man. That is so healthy. I do remember the time, it was probably about a year after COVID had kind of was fading away. All of a sudden, you know, like our church, like church would end and people, they're gone. Gone. And all of a sudden, you just seen it coming back. It hit me 1 week. And I told several people, okay, I say, look around. People ain't leaving. We're getting healthy again. That's how you can tell you're healthy. It's the in-between times. It's nice to go on a vacation. It's nice to ride the roller coaster. I get that. That is fun. But it's the in-between times. Is that really worth it when you drove 4 hours away to get there and you fought the entire way? Then you get there and then you just pretend it was fun. That's what we do. But the in-between times are important. The in-between, the little conversations, the little bits and pieces. And by the way, you know, we're here as a church to help. If your lives are so upside down that you just can't foresee change, I get it. You can't think, how can this be different? How can this change right now? You need help. You need counseling. And it don't mean like go pay somebody for counseling. If you have money, you can do that. But no, we got good godly people in this church. You need to sit down and they'll help you filter through this stuff. They'll help you be able to make some changes in your world. And a lot of people you're caught up in this routine. All of a sudden you've created something. You're like, I remember when God convicted me about it, it's finally time to let go of your business. Well, I had a file of like several jobs that had to be done. I made the decision that night, but I knew it was going to take me. Well, Bob believes that. Where you're like finishing up, you're like, oh, I got to complete these things. It's hard. And so if you need help on any of those areas of your life, from time, you know, finances, some of you don't know the gift God's given you. Well, it's time to use it. It's time to get busy and we're going to figure that thing out and you'll know exactly where you fit at this church. Exactly. That's your part. Let me end this morning by saying this. You know the story in the Bible of the mustard seed? If you've never heard that, you know, mustard seed's one of the smallest seeds there is. And my grandmother always had a little mustard seed necklace. And I remember I used to grab it. It was a little marble and it had a little, I said, what is that, Grandma? Look, a piece of dirt in there, you know. And she said, that's a mustard seed. And she'd tell me the story about the mustard seed in the Bible where, you know, Jesus, and it's mentioned quite a few times in the Gospels, but he says, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and he sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it's the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree. The birds of the air will come under and lodge in the branches thereof. And she would tell me this story, and it motivated me. It's been motivating me lately because, guys, I've had all these grandiose plans for the church and being a pastor. Like, I've dreamt big years ago, and I tell you, I keep getting disappointed, you know. Not in you, and really myself, and just where things are at, not always happy. And so just here recently, it was through reading a book. I'm reading a book called Crazy Faith. And then I ended up ordering on Amazon. I didn't want to wear a lady's necklace, so I ordered a lady's bracelet that has a little mustard seed in it. And I've been wearing this for a couple weeks now, and it's been good for me. And let me tell you why it's been good. Because I'm reminded, I keep thinking, man, I want to impact a nation, man. I want to impact this county and the next county and the next county. I want to do things so big in this state. God, I want to see Chicagoland so turned around that by the time that I can't do it anymore, that the reputation of the state of Illinois is different because of the impact the gospel has made through that land, that we go. I think that way, and it's like a pipe dream, you know. And but one thing I've been encouraged by is the mustard seed. It's little. Like, I want to bring this gargantuous, giant faith to the Lord. And God just said, hey, Mike, what I can do with this amount of faith. But listen, my job is to sow it, though. It's got to be sown. It's got to be planted. And so I guess I want to encourage you. Some of these changes that need to be made in our lives, it's overwhelming sometimes if you think of all the things that you would like to be different or that God wants to be different in your life. I want to encourage you today with just something. What God has shared with you and taught you, find one thing, one little thing, and execute it, man. Plan it. One. And I don't care what it is. Like, if you want to start giving consistently because you haven't been a giver, you don't give your money. My family needs money. We spend our money. Here's the deal. You're going to say, God, I'm not going to miss. I'm giving $1, man. Every time I walk in the door, I'm giving a dollar. Start there. Literally, start. I mean that when I say that. Some of you are just like, my gosh, I'm so out of shape. I know I need to do this. I know I need to do that. And everybody always wants to do this. And well, I'm famous for going out like, you know what? I'm going to run 3 miles today because I haven't ran in 5 months. And then I go out and a lot of times, hey, I've completed it before. And then I don't run the rest of the week because I can't hardly get up. You know, I'm like, what am I doing? Why don't you walk? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put on my tennis shoes and I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to drive to the YMCA every day. Man, do that for a month, man. Don't go in and work out. Just drive there. You will find yourself, you developed a little habit in your life. You might be eating donuts in the parking lot of the YMCA, but then it's going to lead to something else. You plant that one little bit and before it's over, it's going to grow. You're like, I'm going in. You want to go in and work your guts out and do all this big work, you know? That's the curse to steroids, man. You just overnight want to be a, whoosh, I'm changed. It's the blessing of Botox, isn't it? Whoosh, you know, wow, man, he looks different. Boy, she looks great. Yeah, we want everything right now. And I guess I want to encourage you, whatever God said to you, and even as a church, we're just take little steps, man. Be faithful in the little. Tomorrow morning, just say, you know what? I just feel like I can't get up any earlier. Hey, my friend, listen, do this. I know you already get up at 4:30. Because you got to be at work at this time. Or you get up at 5 o'clock. You know what you do? 4:55. 5 minutes. So I just want to encourage you. Just make it small and little. Some of you mamas that have little babies. I've talked to many of moms because my wife was one of them at one point. Just like, man, it's been hard to get in the word, man. I got everything. It's so busy. It never stops. I get it. I totally get it. I've seen it right in front of my. Well, so you know what you do? Yeah, I know you feel like the standards might be a little bit lower, but go 5. Guys, literally, this guy said, it's a neuroscientist. I follow this guy, and he's like, here's what you need to do. Most people don't get enough oxygen. So first thing when you get in the morning, he has these breathing exercises. I was like, I'll try it. I don't care. 5 minutes. I can get 5 minutes. I set my timer at 5 minutes. And so, and then he tells you how to do it. So I'm doing these breathing exercises. I would do them right now, but you'd be like, okay, I'm going to another church. I don't want you to go to another church. So I'm doing this thing. You know, I'm doing it all. Woo, woo, woo. Doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it. I'm just sitting on the couch doing these things. And I was like, my gosh, you know, I look over. I thought I'd been there for like 27 minutes. I set my alarm for 5 minutes. I was at it like a minute and a half. I'm like, my gosh. By the time I got done with the 5 minutes, I was like, that felt like an eternity. Anybody ever watch the 1 minute clips that we've been putting on the internet? Like, you know, we'll do TikTok or Instagram. And I had different people say, I've had pastors say, dude, them are fantastic. I'm like, well, that's funny because, you know, I had 5 views on that thing. Thank you. You know, I just want to make God's word famous. Honestly, I just want to put it out there, get out there. But what I'm amazed of, you can say a lot in 60 seconds. You can say a lot in 60 seconds. Guys, you can say a lot. You can read a lot in 5. You can pray a lot in 5 minutes. And I know that seems silly and it seems small, but I'm just encouraging you with the mustard seed today. Plant it, man. Find one little thing from this conference that you're going to do different to give God glory, to edify the church. One thing. I just want to encourage you, plant it. Execute violently on that one little thing. One little thing. You got a habit in your life. Just one. Come up with one little thing and just do it. That's it. What is your one little thing? Let's bow our heads right now. What's the one little thing? You know, change is in the air. You feel like you haven't been given God glory in your life in whatever area. Right now, find that one little thing. Mark it down, man. It's a memory right now. Write that thing down. Whew, this is it. This is the one thing. My time, maybe my treasure, maybe it's my talents, whatever it is. Write it down. I know it seems silly. You don't even probably want to tell anybody about it because it seems so small, like, because anybody can do that. But maybe you can't, man. You're not everybody. You're you, right? And that one thing, commit it to God. God, today, we want to be a different church because of this conference. God, thank you for allowing us to see the world this week. I want to thank you for the man that you allowed us to see from Joy, Illinois. That was so encouraging, God, of what you can do and what you want to do in this place. So Lord, help us to be incredible people of faith, but Lord, help us to bring just the mustard seed to you. This is all I got, but help us to execute it. Help us to plant it, knowing the big things that you can do with it. Lord, I want to pray for anybody in this room that don't know you. I pray they're drawn to you today. Amen.